بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. A few weeks back we had commenced a discourse of Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And the discourse was regarding the inside world, the realm, the spiritual realm of man. And we had discussed, we'll just refresh our minds again, because it's been a long time since we had commenced it. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah explained that one is the external part of man. His structure. If anybody is sitting here and you're blocking any person's car, just check if you're not blocking any person. I think some person or so leave and needs his car to come out. So one is the external part of man, the nose, the structure of man, the feet, the hair, the head, his bodily structure. But then we have the ruh, the spiritual side of man. So together with this, both the physical structure, the flesh, the bones, the blood, and also this heart of man, the ruh of man, both together will say this person is a human being. A person just with the physical structure without any ruh, he's got no life, then you won't say he's a human being. He's a dead person. A live person is one who's got a ruh as well. With the external structure, he's got that the ruh, which is something which we term as batin. Batin means inside, internal. So the external part of man and the internal. And we gave examples previously. And then as the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman explained, that just as the body, the eyes, the ears, the head, the feet, feel pain, or they go through some sickness, sometimes it's some cold, some fever, some bodily pain, some physical pain. Like that, the soul also goes through some type of illnesses and some type of sicknesses and diseases. So just as we are concerned with what with taking care of our physical side, when a person is sick, he goes to the doctor, he takes the medication. Like that, this ruh also requires medication. When the ruh becomes sick, it requires some remedy, some ilaj. We have diseases of the ruh like anger, pride, jealousy, malice. So these are all those type of diseases that cause the ruh to become affected. And therefore the hadith of Rasulullah, which we heard many times now, Allah inna fil jasadi mudghatan, behold, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh becomes correct, right, idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kullu, the entire body will become right. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. But is this piece of flesh, if this becomes bad, rotten, decayed, then the entire body will become rotten. It won't become correct. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبَ. This is the heart. So just as the eyes are our instruments or means of vision, the ears means of hearing, hands assist in touching and feeling, likewise, this lump of flesh, this piece of flesh, the heart, it has got the power to wish, to desire. It has the power of desiring. Now, this is what we are going to focus on. The desires of the heart. And what the heart wishes, and what it commands, what it dictates. So, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, there is a need to cure the ailments of this heart. When this heart is sick, we're talking about now the spiritual heart, then it requires some ilaj. And where would you find this ilaj and remedy? In the Quran Majid. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, and we revealed of the Quran that which is shifa, a cure. It is a healing. And rahmatul lil mu'minin, it is a mercy for the believers. In one verse Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. The Qur'an for the believers is hidayat, guidance. And it is a means of cure. Now when we talk about shifa, we're only talking when a person is sick, and then you read some verses of the Qur'an, and you blow in the water and you get cured. Definitely, no doubt, this has an effect. The ayats of Qur'an for shifa also. And many verses, a person reads it, blows in the water, he'll get cured, inshallah. But now we're talking about this cure of the spiritual ailments that we have. The anger, the jealousy, the pride, love of dunya, etc. But the problem is, physical sicknesses can be detected, diagnosed by a doctor, x-ray machines, scan machines, blood tests, urine tests, so many tests they have, and different type of x-rays and scans. So they are able to diagnose that this is the problem, this is the illness, this is sickness. But as far as the batini, the spiritual ailments are concerned, there's no x-ray machine or blood test that a person takes, and you know, I got so much of anger in me, and so much of pride, and so much of jealousy. Yes, sometimes a person himself begins to realize that he's got this problem. He knows he gets angry very quickly. But in many cases, there are so many of these type of spiritual diseases, jealousy, malice, that we don't detect it. We are unable to detect ourselves. And therefore, we have to sit in the company of those ulama and those mashayikh who are the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all weak people. We need to search for those people who are able to detect these shortcomings, these deficiencies, and these sicknesses and these ailments in our life. And if we are not going to remedy these ailments and these sicknesses, then again this qalb, إِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسْدُ كُلُّهُ. Then this heart is going to become bad. It's going to become rotten. It's going to decay. And as a result of that, our actions are not going to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the main focus of tasawuf, tazkiyah, to try and spiritually rectify ourselves, reform ourselves. We all are sick, we have got ailments. And sometimes these ailments, after some ilaj, they go away. But if we are not going to be bothered and concerned, they can come back. Sometimes we are able to get one sickness right, or we remedy ourselves from one ailment, yet we have many other ailments also. So nobody likes to be a sick person. Physically, nobody wants to be sick. So in the same light, spiritually also we should be strong and not sick. As the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah explained, I'm just going to giving the gist of whatever we had discussed previously, that there are fazail, good deeds, and we have razail. Razail are the bad deeds. So man has to attain and he has to get fazail in his life, good deeds. Zuhud, qanaat, shukr, all the good deeds which is going to brighten his heart, illuminate his heart, and make his heart saluhat. His heart will become pure, clean. And then there are razail, evil habits, casting lustful glances at women, zina, and so many backbiting. So there are misdeeds of the tongue, of the eyes, of the hand, that these are all razail. So we have fazail are some things that we have to, or deeds that we have to attain. And razail are those deeds that we have to remove and eradicate from ourselves. And then he went on to explain the importance of having a spiritual mentor, and we give the qualities of such a person. And then Imam Ghazali Ramadullah had mentioned four ways of reformation. And number one, he said, a person should desperately seek a spiritual mentor who will detect, diagnose his ailments. And of course, the qualities of that person was given, that he must be one who upholds Quran and Sunnah. In his company, you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But Imam Ghazali Rahman says that you should look for such a person who will help you, assist you to detect these ailments, and not just detecting them, but he provides the remedy. I have left to you to take the remedy. The doctor prescribes the medication, gives the whole prescription, go to the chemist, pharmacist and get this, or he gives you the tablets in fact. But you go back home and you're not interested in taking this medication, obviously we're not going to get cured. Then as Imam Ghazali Rahman says that if a person for some reason or the other he cannot find a spiritual mentor, a spiritual guide, so the second way of reforming his inner self is that he should turn to any other sincere well-wisher. The person who is asking may not be a spiritual mentor, but somebody who is genuine, sincere. Husband can ask the wife, wife can ask the husband. Or we've got a brother, or a very close friend, who may not be level in that level and category of a spiritual mentor, but he will be able to tell you, honestly, see why you've got this sickness, this illness. Or you seem to get angry very quickly. Or that was a sign of jealousy. You should not have done that. So you must have a friend who is going to point out this to you. And when he points this out, you shouldn't break ties with him. You shouldn't become angry. Because he's genuine. He's a well-wisher. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Ram gave two examples. One of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and we discussed this. When he approached Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and he says to him, "You are my brother. Now tell me, what weaknesses do you see in me?" So Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was a sincere sahabi, genuine. And he saw that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is also sincere, he is genuine, and he wants his islah to take place. And I know these weaknesses in him, and therefore he points out to him, he says, "With due respect, but I perceive two weaknesses in you. The first is that you have more than one dish on your dasarkhan. You don't have just one dish to eat, you have more, many, you have variety, or you have two or three dishes." Said Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, life was so simple, so simple. We have mentioned many times waqiyas of his simplicity. Perhaps there were occasions when just he had just more than one meal. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu detected this. He saw this. He said, "This is not good for you. Such was not the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And the second is that you keep more than one garment for your requirement. One you wear at night, the other one using during the day. Now Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu to this, he said, "Oh my brother, don't worry. I will remedy these sicknesses, these weaknesses immediately." He said, "Inshallah, I will remedy these weaknesses in myself immediately." So here he's got a well-wisher to point out the weaknesses for him. The third way, you've got no spiritual mentor, you've got no sheikh, you've got no very close friend who is able to tell you these things. So as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, Imam Ghazali has mentioned these things, to reform oneself with the help of one's enemies. Now this may be done by carefully listening to what you have been accused of by your enemies. Your enemies say that you are like this, you are like that, you got this problem, you got that problem. So a person should go back, sit, and ponder and reflect. Do I really have these type of weaknesses that this person is pointing out to me? Even though he is my enemy. But he's saying, whatever he's saying, is it correct? If it is, then it's a weakness in me and I need to remedy it. So in other words, you are actually benefiting from whatever your enemy is pointing out to you. Whatever he is accusing you of, if you are sincere and you are genuine for your islah to take place, then you go back home, you won't become angry with him. And you'll ponder and reflect genuinely. You know, what that man said about me is true. Okay, the other 10 things may be not so correct about me. But this one point, yes, I do have this weakness. So this is also one way of reformation. And then the fourth way is, whenever one perceives some evil trait in anyone else, one ought to do some introspection whether this weakness exists in himself or not first. So this is quite common. We very easily see the weaknesses in everybody else in the whole world. So when we do this, let us sit back before we start passing fatwas on everybody else. Do I have this weakness in myself? Hey, I am also guilty of the same thing. So therefore, let me remedy this myself. So these are four simple ways. The first one, a person should try his best to find some spiritual mentor, some sheikh, who will guide him in this way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does not find such a person, then find a very close friend who will point out your weakness. Or learn your weaknesses and try and remedy your weaknesses when your enemy accuses you. And the fourth one is, before you point out somebody else's weakness, check first whether you have the same weakness or not and try and remedy that. We continue then. So, these are all terminology which are not difficult. Fazail. Fazail means the good deeds. We have like Fazail Sadaqat, Fazail Ramadan, Fazail Hajj. Those virtues of Hajj, virtues of giving charity. So these are all virtuous deeds, good deeds. And Razail from Razila, which means bad deeds. We need to get these things out of our system. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says that there are various methods of how one could save himself from different evil deeds, from different vices. And he says, if one ponders over all the evil deeds and all the wrongs that we see, the root of all vice is when a person follows his whims and fancies. That is the root. That we follow the whims and fancies of our nafs. So again, heart, nafs. All kinds of evil traits and vice are the outcome of this evil, what is it? Following the whims and fancies of our nafs. If a person restrains his desires and he stays within the limit of the Quran and Sharia, then very easily he will rid himself of all the other vices. And very easily then he'll acquire the good deeds, the virtuous deeds. So by a person not following the whims and fancies of his nafs and desires, then automatically he'll save himself from the wrong and evil deeds, ghibat, quarreling, fighting, arguing, becoming angry, all those things. And what will he be doing then? He will acquire fazilat, fazail, good deeds in his life. He says the Quran is explicit in mentioning the disastrous outcome of a person following his base desires. There are many examples in Quran and Hadith that show us the plight and the outcome and the fate and the result of people when they follow, they become slaves of nafs. When they become, or they follow very easily the whims and desires of their nafs. Now there are two things. One is called Hawa. Hawa is no lady's name. Adam and Hawa it is, with the big Ha, and it's a Wa with the Tajdeed. We just say Hawa, Hawa, Hawa. There's no girl's name as Hawa or female's name. It's Hawa. And we should pronounce it correctly also. Okay. But we're talking about Hawa in Arabic, which means desires. This is Arabic we're talking about. Urdu, Hawa means wind. So Hawa, desires. And opposite of this is guidance, Huda. Hawa, and Huda. We spoke about Fazilat, Fazail, and Razail. Now we're talking about Hawa and Huda. Hawa means desires. And Huda is guidance. So one has to follow divine guidance. And that is Huda, Hidayat. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. We are seeking Hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is something that we have to acquire. This is how we are acquiring Fazail, good deeds. We have to follow Hidayat, the path of Hidayat. And this is the essence of Sharia. That a person has to strive hard. And he has to go through very strenuous or very rigid exercises, spiritual exercises, mujahada. We will discuss that. So when he's in the path of Huda, reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to abstain from Hawa. And how will he abstain from Hawa? Through mujahada, through spiritual exercises. There's a Urdu couplet here. Attar ho, Rumi ho, Razi ho, Ghazali ho. Attar ho, Rumi ho, Razi ho, Ghazali ho. These were great people in the time. Whether it is Attar or Rumi or Ghazali, kuch haath nahi aata, juz aah sihar ghai. Nothing is of avail besides the sighs at the break of the day. In other words, no matter you can be Razi or Rumi or Ghazali, but what is still required is the spiritual purification. At the time of dawn or at night, a person has to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to become an obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not his knowledge that is going to save him. No. Knowledge will guide him. And he has to implement that knowledge and bring that words into action. So he can be the Rumi of his time and the Ghazali of his time. But the true Rumi and true Ghazali is when he will bring amal into those, that knowledge that he has got. And how a person brings an amal, again through mujahada, and by supplicating to Allah, by turning to Allah. We talk about rona, dona, a person has to cry, shed those tears, he has to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to seek the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're talking now about hawa and huda. Huda means guidance. Now coming to hawa. Hawa, we said, means desires. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says that we have to annihilate this nafs and this hawa that we have. This hawa is a lust, a desire of the heart. Now here again, this nafs that we talk about. There are two aspects related to the nafs. This is very quite detailed on tasawwuf. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, great Khalifa of the Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, and therefore they were able to mention these things and extract it from Quran and Hadith. Very simple. We spoke about getting good actions in ourselves, Razail, Afazail, and taking out Razail. And how are we going to do this? I mentioned four ways of reformation. Now we're speaking about Hidayat, Huda, seeking the path towards Allah, and we must save ourselves from Hawa. That's all. Now, the nafs that we are talking about has some rights also. So therefore we call that huququn nafs. This nafs that we have has rights also. So one is huququn nafs. And then there is such a thing called huzuzun nafs. What is huququn nafs? What are the rights of the nafs? A person has to eat. He has to sleep. He has to drink. He has to rest. He has to satisfy his desires, of course, when he's married. His desires that he has to satisfy his desire with his partner, which is with his halal partner. But these are all rights of the nafs. And then we have huzuzul nafs. These are the desires of the nafs. Not the huquq, not the rights of the nafs. So in the first category we spoke about huququn nafs, are all such desires which are essential for one's living, such as eating, drinking, sleeping, resting. These are the rights of one's nafs. And discharging the same is not merely permissible, but sometimes it becomes a legal requirement. Under certain circumstances, it becomes obligatory. A person hasn't eaten, so why must he starve himself? If that Sharia tells you, you must go and eat. It becomes compulsory for you to eat. You haven't rested. You've been awake for a few days now. Sharia tells you must go and rest, you must go sleep. So those are all rights of the nafs. Sharia does not want us to deprive our nafs of its rights. The fulfillment of these rights has been emphasized in Quran and Hadith. Hadith is very clear. وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِعَيْنَيْكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your body has a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you. Your wife has a right over you. So there are things that you are close to, and your nafs has these rights. If a person deprives his nafs of its rights, then this is not the teachings of Shariat. No. Yes. Now we are talking about not the huquq of nafs, the rights of the nafs. We're talking about hududun nafs, with a dha, hududun nafs. These are such things which are not essential for the survival of the person. So when you talk about annihilating our nafs, we're not talking about annihilation of the rights of the nafs, the huququn nafs. We're talking about hududun nafs. Now the extra things that the nafs desires, such things that the nafs does not require to sustain itself. This is what you talk about, annihilation of one's nafs, opposing the lust and desires, refer to all such desires which are over and above one's needs. Over and above one's needs. A person, he ate food, he's full, he's satiated, satisfied, Now if he goes beyond that, his nafs sees some other food, some other delicacies. Now that is greed. That is not pride of the nafs. Nafs was hungry, he ate, finish. Now that is greed. Now if he goes and eats more, that will be following the dictates of huzuzun nafs. More than what's necessary. So this is what we are talking about now. That we are going to oppose this lust and desire of the nafs, those things which are over and above one's needs. So man has to suppress himself. Otherwise, if he is going to give in to all these huzuzun nafs, he'll fall into sin very easily. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the verse I mentioned in the beginning, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. And that person who fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he restrains his hawa. The word hawa is used. His nafs, his desires. We're talking not about the rights of the nafs, we're talking about the desires of the nafs, that which is more than what is necessary. Those things that will lead the person towards sin and take him towards haram. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. If you're able to restrain yourself from all those things, then Jannat is your abode. So we spoke about Huda, guidance, Hidayat, and opposite to that is Hawa. It refers to all such desires from which nafs derives undue pleasure. The nafs derives undue pleasure. So to get this, to restrain ourselves, one has to apply mujahada. What is mujahada? A person has to suppress his desires. He has to make a very concerted, a strong effort. Mujahada comes from the word juhudun. So he has to apply a lot of pressure on himself, on his nafs. In order to save oneself from sins and unlawful activities, it is necessary to get oneself used to giving up certain permissible acts as well. Now this is a tariqah with the mashayikh, Sufyani Kiram have explained. Now something is haram. Now in order for you to restrain yourself from haram, to get yourself used to restraining yourself, at times you have to restrain yourself from that which is halal also. Just for a short period, not for life. So when a person is able to restrain himself from halal, then automatically restraining himself from haram becomes easy. He gives an example. He says, Mufti Shafi Sahib says, his respected father, Mawlana Muhammad Yasir Rahmatullah Alayh, was a murid of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. So he asked Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah once, he said, Hazrat, the pious elders are reported to have strongly emphasized that one should refrain from excessive talk. What is the real meaning of such statements? That you must stay away from excessive talk. Talking is permissible. Why do you say you must stay away from excessive talking? Don't talk too much. So we're not talking about talking haram. That is not permissible. Talking jais thing also, don't talk too much. So he's asking, what is the meaning of all this? Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi then took a book from my father's hands, from Maulana Muhammad Yasin's hands, took out his book, and he bent one of its pages. Then he gives the book back, and he tells Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahab Rahmatullahi, let's straighten this page. My father tried to straighten it, kept on bending. Then Maulana took the book once more and bent that page in the opposite direction. He gives the book back. He says, now try again to straighten it. My father did as he was directed, and now the page remains straight. So if you can visualize and understand, that there's a page and it is bent. He's told to straighten it. It's not straight, not coming, becoming straight because it's bent. But then Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah showed him the tariqah of making this page straight is he bent it the opposite way. So the both sides now is bent this way, then it's bent opposite way, then it automatically becomes straight. So sometimes a person has to apply this type of mujahada in order to get himself to abstain from those things which are haram and to come straight, he has to go the other route, opposite way, that even those things which are halal for him, for a limited period of time, he has to abstain from those halal pleasures as well, and halal activities as well. Then he'll become straight. A simple example come to mind, a time of Ramadan. We are fasting. What are we staying away from? What are we abstaining from? Haram things? Yes. And also from halal things. So because we are abstaining from halal things, automatically it becomes so easy in the month of Ramadan then to abstain from haram. And when we're not fasting, normal circumstances, stay away from that haram is such a big task, so difficult. But when this nafs is prone and used to now staying away from halal even, for the sake of Allah, so to talk is permissible, but excessive talking is not good. So when a person restrains himself from excessive talking, what will happen? He won't even talk haram. Because now he's very cautious. He's guarding his tongue. That which is jais also, of course not necessary now, your wife asking you, what must I cook today? And you're keeping quiet, you're thinking now, there's also jais to talk, but now I'm going to exercise controls and that. This is being foolish now. But there's so many other ways of now, where a person, where he can talk, it's permissible, but he restrains himself. So when a person keeps on doing this, then he'll find when he's sitting with his friends and all, he will not be talking things which are haram. He will not go into ghibat very easily. So this is the type of mujahada. But of course, this is a limited period of time. Otherwise a person will then again go the other extreme. Now regarding this mujahada, we had mentioned this whole aspect of mujahada previously. But of course we require all the time, we have to refresh our memories and ourselves. So because this is all tazkir, we have to admonish ourselves, remind ourselves, then we will benefit. So as I explained, mujahada implies that in order to save oneself from sin and impermissible acts, one must at times get used to giving up permissible acts. And such mujahadat are not an end in themselves, rather once, what you're saying is that person, after he is able to subdue his nafs, then it's permissible for him to talk again. Of course, person shouldn't talk unnecessarily, and sometimes when you talk unnecessarily, what happens? Then the person will commit sin again. So here we're talking about restraining ourselves from that which is lawful at times. Hazrat Umar Faruq radiallahu anhu say, "Tarakna tis'ata ash'ari al-halal khashyat al-haram." That we have given up 9/10 of what is lawful, fearing that we become involved in something unlawful. So sometimes they stayed away from that which was lawful, out of fear that perhaps if they engage in the lawful thing, and they may not realize that there is boundaries and limitations, they may go beyond that, they may exceed the limits, and it may take them to haram, therefore they even restrain themselves from that which is lawful. So regarding this mujahada, there are four things that the mashayikh mentioned of the past. Number one, tarku ta'am. The word tarak in Arabic means to abandon, to discard, to leave out. So what they should go under a spiritual program where they wouldn't, the person does not eat food, and tarki manam gives up sleeping, tarki kalam observes silence, tarkul ikhtilat ma'al anam, he does not meet with people, he remains aloof. But this was in the past. In our times, Hazrat Mawlana Thaniwi Rahmatullahi, he emphasized on only two things a person should do. And what is it? He should exercise complete control over his tongue. So he said, will be qillat. He should exercise control over the tongue. So tarkul kalam and tarkul ikhtilat. Don't meet too much with people when you're going through the spiritual program. Because when you're going to meet with too many people and socialize, what happens? You know, in all our wedding functions and all other functions, when we begin to socialize, we start off with a very good note, and immediately, what's new? All of us, Navujunu Mucha. All of us say that.
And then we start. Hey, you heard what happened? There. And that person give that incident, that ghibah, and carries on. Then we start giving our fatwas. We have no knowledge about Quran and Hadith. We all become muftis that time. And we, that Maulana is saying this and that mufti is saying this, and we know what happens after that. So, there'll be tarkul kalam and tarkul ikhtilat ma'al-anam. But the other two, eating, he says eat. Our physical bodies have become weak. So he says eat. And you must sleep well. Eat well and sleep well. Those two things were the mashayikh of the past, Sufyan ikram of the past. Not for us. Of course, eat which is halal. And sleep, sufficient amount of rest a person should have. Otherwise, this machine won't function well. Then even the bayan will be sleeping. In the namaz, you'll be sleeping. Tilawat will be sleeping. So as the Tani Rahmatullah has mentioned, that because we lack the strength to endure the rights of our body, and rights of people, he says, we won't make tark of these things, taqleel. We will curtail. So it won't give up your food and your sleep. No. What you should abstain from is speaking unnecessarily and meeting with people. And this meeting with people, again, is explained. It doesn't mean now you just abandon people, you don't talk, you don't smile, you don't make salam. No, no, no. Unnecessarily, you don't socialize too much until you subdue your nafs. And I explain the reason for this. Otherwise, there are times that you have to meet the person. We go in Jamaat now, and we go for Gush, for example. You're going to meet the people. You're going to sit with people, you're giving waaz, nasihat, we're meeting friends, you're meeting family. But again, at the back of your mind, you must be careful of not speaking excessively. How often we see, so that person is a good man, why? A very quiet person, good akhlaq. The other guy, very boisterous, all the time he's shouting and screaming. He's not a very good person. You see, it's all to do with our tongue and zuban. So this is the mujahada a person has to exercise. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned, the first step towards reformation is tawbah. The very first step to reform, and before you can apply all this mujahada, everything, the first thing a person has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just mentioned this. He says, many people feel, just say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and all that's my tawbah. No. Astaghfirullah, istighfar is very great and very virtuous. But when we are talking about here of the sins of the past, then you see this is a grave misunderstanding that people think tawbah is just some phrases of istighfar. No. Repentance requires a person to sincerely regret our past sins. And we have to be very cautious about our future. So our past, we must be sincere and repent sincerely regarding our past. And we must make sure we don't fall into the same abyss again, into the same hole again. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah has explained, and he says that in this world, we have good and evil. So there are many things that invite us towards good, and there are many other things that lure us towards evil. So many things cause an inclination towards virtue and fazail, and there are many things that urge us to commit sin, which is the razail. He gives an example of gold mixed with ore. He said, obviously the gold cannot be put to any use as long as the ore is not separated from it. And the only way to do so is to heat this mixture in the fire. So this gold mixed with ore, you're going to heat it. And he says, in order to separate virtue from the vice of man, we need some heating as well. To make the person to get the pure gold, he has to put it into the fire. And all the other metals and all the other ore, everything melts away and the person gets pure gold. So now we've got good deeds in ourselves. But we've got bad deeds also. So there'll be a heating process. What is the heating? It says, one is the fire of hell, Jahannam. Allah forbid. Nobody wants to go to Jahannam and get pure over there. So we must make dua, ya Allah, Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Ya Allah, you save me from the fire of Jahannam. We don't want that purification, that on the day of Qiyamah, a person who said, now you go to Jahannam, and you go to now
gain your purification from all the sins you committed. How? By being heated in the fire of Jahannam. Nobody wants that. But that is one way of removing the evil from the good. Allah save us. So we're not going to go in that direction. And what is the other way? And this is what we are going to be interested in. You see, the second type of heat is that of regret, remorse, tawbah, nadamat. Hadith says, at-tawbatu nadamun. What is tawbah all about? Person really, sincerely, genuinely shows nadamat. He feels ashamed of having committed that sin. The flames thereof are such, the flames of nadamat, regret are such, the flames of these things are such that they cause the awe of evil, O-R-E, awe of evil to melt away in this dunya. When a person has a genuine nadamat and he cries to Allah, Ya Allah, I committed that sin, I disobeyed you. He's sincere, he's genuine. He makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shows regret of having committed that sin. He's embarrassed, he's ashamed. And he abandons that sin. And he promises Allah, I will not go back to that sin. He makes a firm determination and resolution. The flames of such nadamat and such tawbah is such that it will purify that person from that sin. They become clean and pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. After that, it's a lengthy discussion on the degrees of repentance. Very interesting. The different degrees of repentance. Inshallah, next week, if Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, we will continue. But just to recap again, that now we have this heart, the spiritual heart, the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, and we have to nourish this heart with fazail, with good deeds. And we have to eradicate from it what? Razail, all the evil habits that we have. And if we're not going to do so, we'll just be committing sins and sins and sins. One place, Mufti Shafi Sahib explains the famous example of the black dot. When a person commits a sin, then one black dot appears on his heart. And if a person persists, it grows bigger and bigger. And then a person just indulges in any type of sin. How? By following again his whims and fancies of his nafs. Not the hukukun nafs, but the rights of the nafs. But beyond that, the huzuz, the undue pleasure that he's getting from the nafs, the greed that he's got. And now he's just moving towards haram. So he'll commit various type of sins. And what's happening? His clean heart, white heart is now going to be stained. All black dots. What happens then? A person feels, I'm so messed already. Let me continue this type of life. I just can't get myself clean and polished. So that is when a person now follows his hawa, his nafs. Now to oppose it and to get huda and hidayat, a person has to apply mujahada. And the mujahada we explain. That sometimes something which is permissible also, a person has to refrain from it, so that it becomes easy to refrain from haram. And we explain that the very first form and very first step of reformation in Islam is sincere tawbah. Make sincere tawbah of the past. Inshallah, we'll explain also. Mashayikh have mentioned, once a person makes one time genuine sincere tawbah, now don't keep on thinking about the sin, and now you become so overwhelmed that maybe the sin is not forgiven, and maybe this and maybe that. What's happening? Shaitan is playing games with you. If you genuinely made sincere tawbah for that particular sin and you cried and you made sincere tawbah, you refrained from the sin, you abandoned the sin, you made dua to Allah and you promised Allah you'll never go back to it, you had that nadamat, bas, that is sufficient. Yes, when you make tawbah of the past sins, then it's a sarsari tawbah that you're making now, a very general tawbah of all the sins you committed in the past. Now you don't keep on taking specific gunas again, Ya Allah, I did that one particular guna, and then you start worrying again to such a level that shaitan makes you become remorseful. And shaitan makes you feel weak and makes you feel miserable. He makes you lose hope then. This is his plan. And sometimes, O Mashayikh, Hazrat Arif Billah Zakim Sahib Rahmatullah just mentioned, that sometimes by looking and enjoying the guna of the past, by making tawbah of the past, by thinking of it, suddenly shaitan makes you begin to enjoy that guna. And now you start thinking, yes, I did this and I did that. And now instead of making tawbah, you start enjoying that guna. So therefore, once you made sincere tawbah, then you make a general tawbah of your past sins again.
You don't have to take each and every day now of what you made sincere tawbah of, and now making again tawbah. You made tawbah, mashallah, now you make a general tawbah. So inshallah, next week we'll discuss now the different types of repentance. Again, all this is to do with the purification of the heart, so that we may become good, sincere bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is perfect. Only Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were ma'asum. We all, the ummatis of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are trying to get this huda, this path of guidance. May Allah give us that huda. May Allah protect us from hawa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.